The ruby red pilot light on the Fender Twin Reverb is glowing in the dark. It's time for this edition of Before the Soundcheck, the program that offers you a look inside the lives and careers of people who make the music happen. We talk up close and intimately with artists, musicians, producers, and engineers, with the music teachers, the bus drivers, the production crew, the agents, and yes, even the managers. Everyone involved in making the music you love and who bring it to you. Today's program is sponsored by Subsurface Technologies Incorporated. Their Aquafreed well rehabilitation system restores lost water production using environmentally sound carbon dioxide and producing no waste stream. Once water production is restored, AquaGuard maintains the well pump rate and water level, thereby reducing energy costs and putting the system on a sustainable, low-cost path to the future. Subsurface Technologies was green before green was popular. Call 800-283-3353 or visit them at stiwater.com. And now, here's your host, Tony Sarno.
Thank you, Chris, and welcome to the show, everybody. Today we have part two of my interview with Clayton Ivey, great session musician, keyboard man, but he's been a producer, a studio owner, publisher, songwriter. He's done it all. And I've been really fortunate to have Clayton play on some of my records. Clayton Ivey started playing piano at age six, and he has never stopped. As a session musician, you've heard him on songs like Respect Yourself by the Staple Singers, Patches by Clarence Carter, I'm Your Puppet by James and Bobby Purify, One Bad Apple by the Osmonds, Best of My Love by the Emotions, Touch Me in the Morning by Diana Ross, and Hey Joe by Wilson Pickett. You've also heard him on recordings by Greg Allman, Aretha Franklin, Bob Seger, Bette Midler, Boz Scaggs, Chet Atkins, Roy Orbison, Lionel Richie, Etta James, Toby Keith, Brooks and Dunn, Bobby Gentry, The Commodores, Quincy Jones, B.J. Thomas, B.B. King, Glenn Frey, Hank Williams Jr., Little Richard, The Righteous Brothers, Rod Stewart, and so many more. Clayton was a staff producer for Motown Records and produced the million-selling hit record Angel in Your Arms by the group Hot, which he also co-wrote. He was inducted into the Musicians Hall of Fame as part of the legendary Muscle Shoals rhythm section known as the Swampers. Now, Clayton, you wrote this song, Angel in Your Arms.
Yeah, co-wrote it with Terry Wood for myself and Tommy Brassfield. Actually, Tommy didn't write any of it. He had the title. and that title was a third.
Oh, man, that's something. Now, that was during the disco era, wasn't it, or was that before that?
Well, that was 77.
That's a
disco. Yeah, during the disco, yeah. Now, I'll tell you something else. That record stayed on the charts longer that year than anybody else's records. And I'm talking about there were some biggies out there.
And you produced that, right?
Yeah, produced it, wrote it, arranged it, everything.
And you were competing with the Bee Gees and everybody else in the Saturday Night Fever?
Beat everybody. We was on the charts 32 weeks. Beat everybody, including Elton John, Stevie, all of them.
Wow. Well, let's play that song, Angel in Your Arms, by the group Hot.
Do you think I'm such a fool to believe everything you say is true? That just goes to show that you really don't know. While you're out painting the town, do you think I'm home just sitting around? Now who's really the fool? When I first found out, I heard all over. I felt so left out till I got to know her. So I tried the way that she got over, and I became just like her. So don't be surprised. Someone else is on. I just slip around secretly. If you were tired of loving me, why'd you keep holding on when love was already gone? The times you said you weren't feeling well, did you think I couldn't tell you'd been with someone else? You were only kidding yourself. When I first found out, I hurt all over. I felt so left out till I got to know her. So I tried the way that she got over.
I know that a lot of times I've seen where guys say, well, the producer's just, he's just kind of there. He's just kind of, but I have a friend, a gal that works up in New York. Her dad was Jimmy Miller, who produced the Stones. And I heard an early version. I heard an early version of, I think it was Honky Tonk Woman. I can't remember what song it was, but I listened to it and I said, you know, that just does not have the spark. And then the hit is just, it just popped, and for whatever reason, and that's pretty much the producer, isn't it, Clayton?
Sure. I mean, because what happens is you cut the track, and then after the band leaves, I mean, they'll go in and do post-production. They'll go in and really get it together. You know what I'm saying?
But the track has to, that's why the
four or five pieces has to work.
And it's got a pop. It's got a pop.
The basic track has got to be there.
Right. Like the foundation. That's what I always say.
If it's not, you need to start over.
If you have the foundation, it's just like building a building or a house or something. If the foundation is strong, you can put anything on top of it.
That's right. And that's what a lot of those guys do. Stones are not a studio band. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But when you put them together, man, I mean, it's loose, but it feels good.
Now, did you have any? Were you around when they were doing the Stones and the Muscle Shoals? Weren't you?
I was at the studio that night. They cut Brown Sugar.
And yeah, man. What were you thinking when you first heard it? I mean, was it any?
Well,
did it seem anything special?
Well, I'll be honest. They started out, and it was rough. Okay. Then I said, well, man, it's got to get better than this. So I left. Right. Wait a minute. I left and went home and come back about midnight. And I walked in there at midnight, and there was Brown Sugar that you heard on the radio. I said, I don't know what y'all did to this, but you did it.
That is too much. Well, people don't realize that's why we call my show Before the Sound Check, because people just don't realize what it actually goes on. And it's a lot of luck too when you think about it. But although Keith Richards and Mick Jagger, there's something about their synergy that they just know what they want, and it may take them all day or 2 weeks or something.
See, the Stones don't care how long it takes. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They got carte blanche video. I mean, they got a carte blanche budget.
Right.
It costs $1 million. It costs $1 million. It don't matter.
But Clayton, you've worked on projects where it just went into astronomical costs, and the record never did anything, right?
Oh, that happens too. That happens a lot, as a matter of fact. But fortunately, what makes up the difference is groups like the Stones, and you may have four or five groups that's not making it at all, but their record sales alone will cover them. You see what I'm saying?
Right. And why do you think Muscle Shoals? Is there something in the water or something down there? What is it about Muscle Shoals?
It's the musicians, man. Ain't nothing in the water. It's just the players that choose to come here just play like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what I believe.
And I mean, most...
Because I'm going to be honest with you. I had to drink a dab of this water. out of this river.
And
I live on this river. So.
But you guys are pretty much all from the area. Is that right, or
Well, yeah, most of us. We have a few imports, but most of us, the nucleus, we're all from this area. I mean, well, I wasn't born. I was born and raised in Florida, and I moved up here in 69, but I've been here, God, 50 years. Here in Nashville for 50 years, yeah. I was in Nashville for 30, I was up there 30 years.
I know. Well, we were neighbors for about 7 years, something like that.
We sure were. Only guy I know that built a house with a credit card.
Well, that must have been me. Well, we had a lot of
that was you.
We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun in that studio, didn't we, Clayton?
We dang sure did, man. We had a ball.
Now, we've been recently recording up at Southern Ground, and you bring Bob Ray up. Bob's a great bass player from Muscle Shoals, and you've been recording with him for many years, right?
Oh yeah, man. Well, me and Bob been together 50 years doing sessions. He played on One Bad Apple.
Yeah, you guys, you're something else in the studio. Well, let's play that song, One Bad Apple, by the Osmonds. Now, Clayton, you played with Dwayne Allman with Wilson Pickett, didn't you?
Yeah, on Hey Joe. He was on that with us.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I'm going to tell you a funny story about that. I mean, Pickett, at that point, would not do a session without Dwayne. I don't care. If Dwayne wasn't there, he wouldn't do it. I mean, they just hit up on something. Just remember this, man. Remember the record, Hey Jude?
Yep.
Okay, now if you'll remember, listen to the fade, and in the fade is when the Allman Brothers Band was born.
Wow.
That's it. Go back and listen to it, and that's when it all started, in the fade of Hey Jude. That's the truth. You can just hear it, because when he goes off on those guitar riffs, you hear Allman Brothers Band.
And who brought Dwayne to Muscle Shoals?
Oh, I think Rick brought him there. I think Rick Hall.
You guys are about.
I know because Rick had him under contract. I know.
But you guys were about the same age at that time, right? He was early 20s.
I think so. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, something like that. Dwayne was a funny dude, man. He was a funny dude, but he could sure play.
Yeah, he was great. Well, we love the Allman Brothers.
I mean, he was great.
Well, let's play Wilson Pickett's version of Hey Joe with a young Dwayne Allman on one of his early recordings.
Where you going with that gun in your hand? Hey, Joe, I wanna
don't know where you're going with that gun in your hand. I'm going downtown and shoot my old lady, 'cause I caught her messing around with another man. Oh yes I did. I'm going down and shoot my old lady, I caught her messing around with another man. Your woman down, shot her down to the ground. Hey, hey, Joe, you caught her messing around downtown, boy. Ow!
Session guy, you love all kinds of music, right?
I love all kinds of music. I like bebop, jazz. It don't matter. I love it. I just love it all. And I got favorites. You know, Quincy and the stuff you did on James Ingram and Patty Austin. Just really musically, it's just I don't know how I can get any better than that.
Quincy Jones.
Yeah, Quincy did those records on James Ingram and Patty Austin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, man, that was you talking about some. And man, when I was riding down the freeway in L.A. going to the hotel, you know, Sheraton Universal, and when Just Once came on,
yep,
James Ingram record, I actually had to find a place to pull off because I'd never heard a record put together so well in my life.
Who played on that?
Oh, that was a bunch of L.A. players. That was Quincy did that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Greg filling games, and I don't know who else playing, but I know Greg played keyboards. Or James. James was a great keyboard player.
Do you have a favorite session that you played on, Clayton?
Do I have a favorite?
Yeah.
Let me think about that. I tell you what, I don't know if it's my favorite, but it was the most fun. We used to do all the blues albums for Malico Records in Jackson. When we do Johnny Taylor and Bobby Bland, Bobby Blue Bland, that was some of the most fun you'll ever have on a recording session. Everybody's up. Everybody's up, man. You know, everybody's having a good time.
Was that the two of them together?
No, separate.
Separate. What did you play on Johnny Taylor? What did you play on his records? Did you play? You didn't make Who's Making Love, did you?
No, I didn't play on that. That was a while back. That was '67, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Checking in and checking out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Disco Lady.
No, I didn't do a Disco Lady. Right after that.
Okay.
I did every album that he did on Malico.
One of my favorite things that I found out you played on was that early Boz Scaggs. I think that was 71 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Dynaflow album, yeah.
That was a great record.
That was a great record.
You played piano and Barry Beckett played organ, or how did it go?
I don't know. Well, see, we used electric piano and grand on that, so I know I probably played electric Roadster. That's how I remember.
Well, this has been one of my favorite songs from a really long time. Boz Scaggs from his album My Time. It's called Might Have to Cry.
Mm-hmm. taxi's lights pull out of sight, round the lane and into the night. Goodbye this time, maybe the last.
Might have to cry.
Might have to cry.
Might have to lie.
Might have to die.
Might have to die.
The evening song didn't last long. Dreamed I was right, sussed I was wrong. So I make my way through an empty day.
Might have to cry.
I might have to cry.
Might have to lie.
Might have to die.
Might have to die.
This time. Never believed she would leave. She walked out this morning. I went out of my mind. I'll try to smile, pretend it never happened. Leave them slow, but leave them laughing. I'll try to fight down to the last.
Might have to cry.
Might have to lie,
might have to die,
this time. Some people live and learn. Never was lucky that way. Wanted so hard to believe. Wash it all away. All the lies will come and go. You must believe me when I say it won't be that way. I'll try to smile, pretend it never happened. Leave them slow, but live life. Goodbye.
Is Muscle Shoals having a resurgence?
It is because of the documentary. It took off again, not session-wise, but tourism really, tourism is really, it's amazing. They have two tours a day at these studios. People come from all over the world. Believe it or not, there's a lot of work here. When it's, of course, everything now is shut down, you know.
Early on, you did a lot of touring, didn't you?
No, I never toured.
You never toured?
No. Well, you know, the thing is, man, when you put those headphones on and you got somebody in there that knows how to mix, you never sound that good again as we do in that studio. You can't sound that good live because they got control over each instrument.
Was there any choice you were going to do anything else?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I had a baseball scholarship at Florida State. Well, that crossed my mind. And I'll tell you what happened. I was at first year in college, as a freshman in college, and I was taking batting practice, right? And, you know, when you're in high school, you're the you can be king and you can be the king of the thing, man, in high school because it's local. Everything's local. When you get in college, you get these boys coming from places like this particular boy was Nebraska. He'd eat a lot of cornbread in his day. Trust me. And that's the first time I ever stood in the batter's box and somebody threw me a 97-mile-an-hour slider. And that ball was coming at me, and I could hear it coming. And I fell out of the batter's box. It went right across the plate. And that was, as I was falling back out of the batter's box, all I saw was keyboards. I said, there ain't no way. I'm on. If this guy, 19 years old, can throw it 97, what does a pros do? That's when I started taking music really serious.
Did you ever think about doing anything else besides baseball or music?
Oh, I thought about golf one time. I was a pretty good golfer. But music, once it gets a hold of you, it's got you. And the thing about music is I'm 75 years old, and I play better today than I did 25 years ago. No, you can't do that with golf and baseball.
No.
You can't do that, but you can with music.
Clayton, I think, you know, we got so much to talk about, but we're coming to the end of our show here. We only got a half hour, but it's been...
That was a quick 30 minutes.
Yeah, it really was, but we had a great time talking, and...
We're good, man.
And we hope we can get you on the show again.
You can do it. All you got to do is call me.
All right, Clayton. Well, we'll talk to you soon, man.
You take care, man.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was great. Clayton Ivey, what a fantastic keyboard player and big, big part of the Muscle Shoals sound. Muscle Shoals is a really unique place. I've never been there, but boy, I sure love the music that comes out of there. And on another note, my band, the Thunderhawks, that we formed back in the 90s, had one album only, and we've released it under different labels and stuff, but I've edited it up, and I think it's the definitive version now, and it came out this past Thursday, May 28th, and actually Clayton Ivey is playing on that album. Also, the late, great Eddie Shaver is playing slide guitar and other guitars on there. Really great player. And Keith Christopher on bass, and Rick Donnelly on drums. It's a good album. I'm happy the way it came out. I hope you like it. So go to Spotify and listen to that or download it at iTunes. Well, it's been a lot of fun interviewing Clayton Ivey. This is part two of his interview. And boy, a rich, rich career and just one of the most amazing musicians ever. I hope you've all enjoyed this as much as I have. Appreciate you listening. Thanks a lot. I'm Tony Sarno. I'd like to thank Bridget Cohnhorst and Chris Lucky and Ronnie Lake at Hippie Radio 94.5 in Nashville. I also want to thank our sponsor, Subsurface Technologies. If you work for a water company or know someone who does, visit stiwater.com. And you can reach me at tonysarno.com and Tony Sarno Music on Facebook and Instagram. Before the Soundcheck is a production of Marconi Records. The theme song is Spirit by the Thunderhawks.